Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Ryan Tannehill, quarterback for the Miami Dolphins, and I represent the Fence with the PH.
Third down and five. At the Washington 22-yard line, Jim Mandich has come in, replacing Marv Fleming at tight end. And Tully and Warfield split off the near side. The Dolphins haven't used any of their timeouts. Clock moving with 33 seconds. Greasy drops to throw. He sets up. He is firing in the corner. Mandich. He makes a tremendous catch. Did he hold on to it? He did. Out of bounds at the 3-yard line. Holy Toledo. What a play by the third-year man from the University of Michigan, Jim Mandich.
If they have to, we are seeing another spectacular effort by Marino, who fires.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Insider Radio. I am your host, Matthew Cannata. I'm joined by Sutton and Houts. And tonight we're going to preview the week one game. Football is back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. We are ready to go. We are killing it. We are rocking it. And tomorrow night, the Broncos open up with the Carolina Panthers. And then just a few days later, we watch the Miami Dolphins head to Seattle and take home their first victory. Because that's how it's going to go, right, boys? We are going to march into the loudest stadium in the NFL. The Dolphins are going to raise all sorts of hell. Jarvis Landry over 100 yards receiving. Ryan Tannehill over 300 yards passing. Arian Foster, 2 touchdown runs. It's going to be all rainbows and butterflies. But that is because Ryan Tannehill was named a team captain today. And while quarterbacks, you may think, yeah, they're the quarterback. Why wouldn't they be the team captain? You see, Ryan Tannehill is not a normal quarterback in the NFL. He has faced some tough times under head coach Joe Philbin. Joe Philbin, of course, did not really like him after year one. He has faced tough times in the locker room with some of his teammates, namely Mike Wallace, Brandon Gibson, and even towards the end of Brian Hartline, when Tannehill pledged allegiance to Bill Lazor over Hartline. He's had problems with players' wives, Mecole Grimes. So it is kind of a big deal because Ryan Tannehill, this is only his second time in his 5 seasons in the NFL that he's been named the team captain. The last time he was named the team captain was 2 seasons ago, 2014. Previously, Joe Philbin had a leadership council because Joe Philbin did not believe in captains in his first few years. We all know how the leadership council went because that worked out quite well for him and Jonathan Martin, right, boys?
Yeah.
And
that was interesting how the leadership council changed over a relatively short amount
of
time.
He got rid of all of them except Tannehill after the first year. Yeah, that's fun times. And then the players voted Tannehill in, along with a few others that we'll talk about in just a few minutes. But if you search through Twitter today and just happen to stumble upon iHeartMeeko, and I know we don't want to talk about her that much, but she's a crazy lunatic, so it's hard not to. And people do follow her blindly, so it's sometimes I feel it's my job and others' jobs to kind of open their eyes a little bit. There is no conspiracy, as she alluded to. The fix was in for Ryan Tannehill. Listen, these are grown men in a very tight locker room where the coaches do not hang around. Believe it or not, the coaches very rarely step foot in that locker room, okay? That is the player's home. You have some coaches in the NFL, like Ron Rivera, who do hang out in the locker room to get to know their players better. But for the most part, 98% of the NFL coaches do not really go in there. So that is their domain. That is their home. If Adam Gase had the players vote, and I'm sure he did, and then it comes back that Ryan Tannehill was named the team captain based on the players' vote, and Adam Gase had fixed it, these guys would find out. They would definitely talk amongst each other. They would tell each other they didn't vote for him, and Gase's reputation would take a huge hit. So if you think this is some kind of fix, some kind of conspiracy, you are most likely wrong. Because, again, this is a grown man locker room, and they're no dummies. They will see right through it, and they know enough. They're cynical enough to see right through it. And that's just the way it is. Now, besides Ryan Tannehill, Cameron Wake was named the team captain, Michael Thomas, Rashad Jones, and Mike Pouncey. And Sutton, what are your thoughts on you know, Ryan Tannehill being named the team captain, along with the others. You know, Cameron Wake's been a captain before, so has Pouncey pretty much every year. Rashad Jones is an absolute beast, and Michael Thomas is a great special teams player, and, of course, a great player in the secondary. So, Sutton, what are your thoughts on the team captain? Should we look too much into it, or, you know, is this the time where Tannehill is really starting to develop into a leader?
No, I think it's a relatively important distinction, and this was, you know, based off of a conversation we had right before we went live. You know, I was under the impression that quarterbacks were kind of named the captain de facto, and to find out that Tannehill is only once before this year been named the team captain, I think that's an important distinction going forward. It's a new coaching staff, so hopefully Tannehill does become that leader that we all want him to be. I think the only confusion I had amongst the captain nominations was Michael Thomas got the special teams nomination over John Denny. If I'm John Denny, I'm looking around like, what the hell do I have to do to get
you
some
and a few,
notoriety
you and a few
with you assholes?
Obsession with John Denny is absolutely
Max.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, so I would think that the amount of time he spent with the team might have earned him something like this, but apparently not. Michael Thomas obviously had a great introduction as a Dolphin, intercepting Tom Brady to seal that game against New England. So it's not really heartbreaking
but
news. But
that's kind of a good thing, though, that just because you're on the team for a certain amount of years and the players aren't voting for you, I mean, that's good because it just shows how legitimate the process is. You know, if and I know they brought in competition for John Denny this year, but it's good that that guys who are earning it and earning it with the respect of their teammates are actually being named captain, and the head coaching staff is not trying to fix things around.
I'd like Jarvis Landry to be named captain next year. Hopefully.
Yeah,
that
would be nice.
He's like the, he seems like the emotional leader of our team right now. So I'm hoping that he kind of develops into that overall inspirational type leader, in terms of being just on the field and making plays and doing it in action, not in words. So hopefully we see Juice get nominated for that next year.
Yeah, I was definitely surprised Juice wasn't nominated. I mean, for me, I kind of like that a new head coach comes in and basically just wipes that slate clean and starts over fresh. I mean, I'm glad to see our quarterback Ryan Tannehill there. Cameron Wake, I mean, the amount of time he's put into rehab from his injury, I mean, he seems hungry and ready to play. Rashad Jones, he's probably easily the best player in the secondary, if not the defense. And then Mike Pouncey, I mean, he's been here since the 2011 draft, and he's, I mean, yeah, sure, he might not always feel like he's getting paid what he deserves. Maybe he's a bit overpriced, but, I mean, at the same time, Mike Pouncey's been pretty consistent, and as long as he's healthy, he's one of the better centers in the NFL.
That's the thing with Pouncey is when he's healthy. You know, we've been saying that for a long time, and he had a few good years, but he has that hip issue now, and it has reoccurred again. So let's just hope Pouncey can get on the field as quick as possible. I mean, Anthony Steen didn't look horrible during preseason. I know we're kind of getting off topic here from the team captains, but that's the thing with Pouncey. Obviously, he's very well respected in the locker room. He has been named captain for consecutive years now, and that's a big thing. Cameron Wake, even, you know, obviously everyone looks up to him. Let's just hope that these guys are turning the corner because they've all been looked on leaders in the past. But really, everyone's been saying the Dolphins lack leadership, right? So they've been quiet leaders, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes in the NFL, you need to speak up. And there have been reports that Tannehill he's taking this team under his wing now. Adam Gase is empowering him, which he never had before. He has the freedom to make audible calls at the line of scrimmage. Tannehill is actually running meetings in the wide receiver and quarterback room. He's actually running offensive meetings. So he's getting that ownership of the offensive side of the ball. And that's all because of Adam Gase. So I think the players now are starting to see a little more personality from him. They're starting to see, you know, what this guy can really be. And listen, the guy is no slouch. He is a very smart guy. Obviously, Texas A&M. But this is a guy that's has aspirations to become a surgeon when he's done playing in the NFL, and has already taken classes for med school to become that and to achieve that dream.
So he's not no dummy. He's very smart. He just needs the chance to show that he can shine. And he's finally getting that under Adam Gase. And now we see the first result. His teammates have named him team captain. We are open for calls throughout the show. If you would like to call us, you can call us at 347-326-9461. Again, that's 347-326-9461. Call and talk about whatever you would like, fantasy football, Dolphins football, peewee football, although we may not know much about it, lingerie football, anything you want. We're going to take a few questions now from our Finsider live thread and on Twitter. First one from Agent J78. What are the keys to getting a surprise win at Seattle? And Agent J, I'm sorry, but we are going to address that towards the end of the show. So we will hold that question until we get there. One on Twitter regarding fantasy football. Houts, I'm going to throw this one to you.
Let's do it.
If Odell Beckham and Julio Jones are there with the second pick, who am I taking?
I take Odell Beckham all day. I know Julio, I think he has some kind of, well, Bobby McCain hurt him a little bit, and I don't really trust Matt Ryan. Eli Manning's always a pretty damn good quarterback, and as it seems now, Odell Beckham's a top two pick in fantasy, so I would definitely go Odell Beckham there.
And what about you?
I might be the contrarian here. I'm going neither. I'm going David Johnson, the running back, assuming that Antonio Brown goes first.
But that wasn't part of the question.
Come on, man.
Okay, fair enough. I got to go Julio. I go consistency in fantasy football. In the first round, I think it's most important to just not screw it up as opposed to hitting it out of the park. You're getting the consistent production that you expect each week with that first-round pick. You need that consistency, and we've seen it with Julio Jones. Beckham obviously has had a tremendous introduction to the NFL so far, so I might be using his words pretty fast, but...
Your David Johnson question answer is interesting. I had the number five pick over – no, number four pick the other night, and I picked David Johnson because Antonio, Julio, and Odell went with the first three picks. So I did spend it on David Johnson. I have another fantasy question on Twitter, and that is this. House, I'm going to throw it to you first. Again, what are your thoughts on late-round wide receivers in a 10-team league? Jalen Strong, Eli Rogers, or Jamison Crowder?
I'm going Eli Rogers. I heard he's the number two. He beat out Sammy Coates up there in Pittsburgh. I know they have problems with is it Wheaton that's hurt or is it the other one? I was getting mixed up. But either way,
Bryant, I believe, is suspended, right?
Yeah, Martavis Bryant. Yeah, so yeah, I always get those two mixed up. But yeah, I heard Eli Rogers might be the number two. He beat out Sammy Coates up there, so I'm probably going Eli Rogers, if not Kenny Stills. But that was not part of the question.
Yeah, no, I responded too, and I said Kenny Stills, but Sutton, what about you?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with House here. You just have to go with the Steelers' offense here. You're going to get more predictable offensive production from that offense, and their defense actually looks kind of shaky right now. So I'm looking at a lot of high-scoring games for the Steelers this year, so that's only going to factor in how much production and opportunity that this guy has.
Yep. And like Hout said, I'm not picking any of those. I know Hout said that he would go with Rodgers, right?
Yes.
I would go with Kenny Stills. Kenny Stills is not getting drafted in any league right now, but he has had a tremendous preseason. Have I drafted Stills? No, I haven't. Have I picked up Stills? No, I haven't. But that's because I think I can get him in week two or three when he starts getting the easier schedule there.
Yeah.
So
even if you had him on your roster, you wouldn't be starting him this week. So
right, exactly.
Everyone else that's not a Dolphins fan is going to sleep on him a little bit longer. You
right.
Pick him up a little bit later when, you know, hopefully our offense is clicking. Not to say that we can't do it this week. Crazy stuff. You know, the Rams put up 37 points on him last year in the opening week last year. So anything can happen.
All right. We're going to take one more question before we move on to our next segment. This is from Agent J78 in the Finsider.com live thread. Sutton, I'm going to throw this one to you first, then how to follow up with your answer. Who do you see as being the 2016 Dolphins Offensive Player and Defensive Player of the Year?
Oh, fantastic question. One that's going to make me have to use my brain and think for a minute.
Not sure if you even have one of those, but go ahead.
Yeah. After I found out I'm having twins and I already have two kids, three and under, yeah, I kind of turned my brain to mush. But no, on offense, it's hard to not go with Jarvis Landry. You'd think that he's going to be the centerpiece of this offense yet again. And I think he's going to get his touchdown totals up a little bit more. I just think he has that drive that superstars have. He never seems satisfied with the product that he has on the field. He's always aspiring to be better. And I believe it on the field, and I believe that we're going to see it on the field. So I think he's gonna put up equal, if not greater, production that he's done before and get the touchdown total a little bit higher. On defense, it's hard to not go with Rashad Jones again. I think he unfortunately might have to play a little closer to the line of scrimmage like he did last year. It would be nice to have him back in coverage, but I think he's going to be doing a lot of in-the-box type of stuff, and he was just such a monster last year, and I really anticipate him doing the same type of stuff this year.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with those. For me, I'm going to go with Laremy Tunsil. I mean, we took him with the 13th pick, and, I mean, he came in. He's ideally a tackle, but he's going to move into guard. I think what he does on that offensive line is going to be very apparent to everyone, and he might be the best offensive lineman we have. So I'm looking forward to watching him open holes for Arian Foster or Jay Ajayi. On defense, I'm going to try to go out on a limb. Other than Xavien Howard, who is pretty much, in my opinion, the key to this year, if Xavien Howard is a decent cornerback, the Dolphins might have a chance to playoff spot. But for me, I'm going to go with Kiko Alonso. I know some people didn't really like the trade. Living up here in the Philadelphia area, for me, I was pretty ecstatic that we got Kiko Alonso. I mean, I know he had a down year with the Eagles, but what he did in Buffalo was enough for me to get excited to watch him play this year, and I think he's going to be a huge addition to the defense. That's my
player. Kiko is very interesting to watch. I'm going to be watching him very closely. For me, my offensive player of the year is going to be Ryan Tannehill. I know that seems like an obvious pick, but not really. I think he's really going to turn the corner this year. All the signs are pointing at him in the direction, and I think Adam Gase is just too good to let him fail. My defensive player of the year, oh, geez. You know, the obvious pick is Rashad Jones. Kiko Alonso, we mentioned. Should I go out of the box? I'm going to go out of the box, and I'm going to say Xavien Howard. And that's way out of the box, right? Xavien Howard way out of the box. But listen, if the coaching staff, they've been tough on their rookies, but this guy has made an impact in the spring, and now he's coming back, and he's being put right into the starting lineup. It speaks volumes about the talent that this guy has and about the potential this guy has. And we're going to see him in action on Sunday, going man-to-man against the other guys on the Seahawks. He's going to be playing on his own island, basically. Dolphins are going to scheme away from him, let him do his thing. So it's going to be fun to watch. All right, we got to move on to our next segment. We will get back to the questions in a live thread and on Twitter. Again, if you want to call us and talk to us, we will stop our conversation and answer your call. Again, that number is 347-326-9461, 347-326-9461. We're going to jump into some fantasy football analysis, which will make a staple on this show every week for you. We have some great talented fantasy football players such as myself, Houts, Sutton, and McKinney behind the scenes, who's running our board right now. As you can tell, we are very busy with calls backed up. He's trying to screen them, get them on the show to make sure they really want to talk to us and just didn't dial the wrong number. 95% of the time, they dial the wrong number, and we have to hang up on them. So McKinney, he's always welcome to join us and pop in whenever he wants to. All right, so we're going to talk about our own draft. I'm in 7 different leagues. I was in 8, but I dropped out of 1 because it was just getting a little too much. So 7 is a bit more manageable. 7 different leagues. It's a little bit crazy, but all my drafts are done. I'm ready to go for the NFL season. And my drafts are gone. You know, they're the drafts. You know, you always get those one or two people that just go crazy with their picks, and it's stupid. You get some other guys who really know what they're doing, and you get guys who are just going by the overall rankings that they see. Obviously, in the online drafts, you have the rankings list in front of you, and the live drafts in person, you are relying on a magazine or your own personal research to get the job done, which causes other issues as well. So, for the most part, my drafts have gone well. We're going to talk about, you know, crazy reach, crazy steals in a little bit. you know, I've had fun. I prefer the live in-person drafts because you can get drunk, you can drink beer, you can eat lots of pizza, eat lots of chicken wings, and just tell your wife that your draft took 7 hours, and really while you're sleeping under the table after you're passed out after two rounds.
Lying is never the answer.
Yeah, how about you? I know how you're in six leagues, right? How have your drafts gone so far?
Yeah, I mean, I've been happy overall. It seems to be pretty heavy on wide receivers for me. I've managed to screw up a couple times at running back. In our league, I took Le'Veon Bell and screwed up and did not take D'Angelo Williams. So I'm relying on Amir Abdullah this week. So
other than that,
I've done pretty well. I'm pretty happy. I think I should win a couple of these leagues, but there's a couple different things I wish I could do differently in each of the leagues that I've done.
Yeah, I'm kind of like you, Houts. I'm kind of like you, Houts. Whenever I look at my team initially, usually I'm like, kind of drafted a shitty team. I wish I could do that over again.
Right.
So, but it just seems like as the season plays on and I'm of the belief that playing the waiver wire might be the most important thing you can do in fantasy football and get lucky in our stacks.
Oh yeah,
and absolutely.
If you play in a league with a bunch of distracted people that don't pay attention to that kind of stuff, you just have that much more of a chance of getting, you know, prime players to fill your lineups on a regular basis. So, like I said earlier, the earlier draft picks, you just want to kind of not screw up. And I took David Johnson number one, took Keenan Allen number two, and took LeSean McCoy number three. So I'm liking the mix of high ceilings and boom or bust type of stuff. But I think those are going to be some consistent players for me. So, you know, you never know. See how
it works
out.
That's good stuff. How about your craziest reach thus far in your draft, Sutton? What have you seen in your drafts that people have, you know, reached crazy on?
I could not believe this, and I'm not making this up. I saw somebody take Melvin Gordon with a first-round pick.
Oh, no. Wow. Are you kidding me?
Melvin Gordon.
Wow. Yeah, I thought mine was bad. Yours might be worse than mine.
I don't even know how to justify that. Hopefully nobody from my fantasy league is going to listen to this tonight. But
I hope they are.
Man, that was wow. I could not believe that. I was like,
unless you're married to Melvin Gordon, you should not be drafting him that high.
Yeah, how about you?
I get the fact that he was a nice little sleeper pick. You know, he obviously didn't do anything last year, so the only arrow is, you know, pointing up for him, but
that's
reach for him with the first round, that's a little bit excessive for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, how about you?
For me, I mean, these aren't quite as crazy as Melvin Gordon, but I saw AP go number two, and I saw Aaron Rodgers go number three, and I've, like we said, I've done seven leagues, and the best bet seems to be to wait on quarterbacks because there's a lot of great talent in the late rounds. And seeing Aaron Rodgers go third, that kind of took me off guard.
Yeah, that's a little high for Rodgers. For me, and this is where I thought it would be a little crazier or the craziest one, but seeing Melvin Gordon pick with the first round, that's by far the craziest. But Tom Brady has picked number 11 overall in one of my drafts.
Okay.
And that was a bit ridiculous. Then I saw a defense picked in the fifth round. And these are two separate drafts. So those were a bit crazy. Now, how about the guy who dropped the furthest for you in your draft? The guy with the most value that you were able to pick up in the late rounds, Houts, what do you got for us?
I mean, for me, it's not so much of a late round, but I took DeAndre Hopkins with the eighth pick, which seems to be my I've been in seven drafts this year, and I think I've gotten the eighth pick in five or six of them. But I took DeAndre Hopkins, and then with the 13th pick or 14th in the next round, for some reason Ezekiel Elliott was sitting there, and that to me seemed like a pretty big drop for Ezekiel Elliott because, I mean, I've been high on Ezekiel Elliott throughout the draft process, and I think behind that offensive line, he's going to tear shit up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, how about you?
Now, I play in an IDP league. For all you non-hipsters, that's an individual defensive player league. And I was able to get Rashad Jones, and it's not necessarily the round that I took him just because there's so many rounds, you're picking so many players. But he was the eighth defensive back taken when I took him. I could not. I was like, did anybody pay attention last year? I mean, that's all Rashad Jones did was put up just monster numbers. He destroyed like linebackers. He was one of the. He might have been the best defensive player, IDP player last year, just all on his own. So to get him as the eighth defensive back taken, I was pretty happy about that.
That's pretty nice. So for me, I got Randall Cobb in the sixth round in one of my leagues.
That's a good
which
pick.
I thought was, you know, a good value. And then in round seven, I got Doug Baldwin in a 10-team league, which is about pick number 75, 76. I got Doug Baldwin, and we saw Doug Baldwin going, you know, pretty early in a lot of drafts. And then I followed that Doug Baldwin up with freaking Jordan Matthews in round 10. And then I know Jordan Matthews didn't have the best of years last year, but yeah, Jordan Matthews in round 10 is a freaking.
Now, team. NC Money, you're going to be benching. You're going to be benching Doug Baldwin week one, correct?
Oh, absolutely. He is sitting right on my starting spot in the flex position. There is no way I'm sitting Doug Baldwin week one. Well, let's be realistic. I mean, I love the Dolphins.
I know you have to be you have to be realistic. I'm playing pretty much
wide
receiver that's going against
the
Dolphins. I'm playing them in fantasy football this year.
No, I got you. Here's the good thing about playing in seven different leagues. Like, you don't care what your team does. You set your lineup and forget about it, basically. Because if you got one guy in one league, you're going against that guy in another league. And pretty much you're going against everyone else, and they're on your teams as well. So that I think I did five or six leagues last year, and I kind of liked it. It was a lot of work, but I liked it because I wasn't getting pissed off on Sundays besides the Dolphins losing. And I wasn't getting pissed off at my fantasy teams because it was helping me out in the other leagues. And when you have one or two leagues, you get too emotionally invested and you start throwing stuff at the TV. You start, you know, yelling at your wife and you start taking your little child and, you know, yelling at them. And then your wife and your child leave to go shopping and your credit card bill gets racked up. And then you're like, wow, what just happened? The Dolphins
won. I know. And then
I like it.
Yeah. And then you're eating Panera bread all of a sudden.
French
at night. And then things just get weird after that.
Yeah, so for those who don't know, I had Panera Bread for dinner tonight right before the show, and I had French onion soup, and they're giving me crap about it ever since I sent them a picture.
I told you to get
of
French,
my French
onion,
onion soup. But listen, I'm not sure why I even sent them a picture of my dinner, but I did it, okay? So that just happened. That happened a little earlier tonight.
That's just the gentleman you are, MC Money.
Absolutely. All right, let's move on. Houts, we actually have a question that ties into our next part. Andrew at AG Bizzle on Twitter asked, which Dolphin would you start on a fantasy football league this weekend? Houts and then Sutton.
This weekend?
This weekend, meaning Sunday.
I'm going to go with Arian Foster because I didn't see enough out of Jay Ajayi or any of the running backs to say that Foster isn't going to be the workhorse. I know Seattle has a tough defense, but I like Miami's offensive line. I like what they've done throughout the preseason. Yes, I know preseason doesn't matter, but if Miami wants to win this weekend, they need to run the football, and I think Arian Foster is the key to that, so I'm going to go Arian Foster.
Ooh, wow, that's a little surprising.
Yeah, I think I would go – I'm actually going to go Ryan Tannehill, believe it or not.
Wow.
I think that that if we win this game, it's going to be Tannehill just making excellent decisions. And one of the things that got brought up on a separate FinSider article was Daryl Dumphy brought up the fact of how important communication is going to be week one, you know, how loud it is at Seattle. But you also have to factor in that Tannehill's perhaps audibling at the line of scrimmage and being able to communicate all the different stuff that he wants to be able to do. And for somebody that hasn't done it a whole lot, if at all, in the last few years, you have to kind of factor that into it a little bit. But with that being said, I think that if we move the ball this weekend, it's going to be through the air. I do believe that we have to be balanced on offense, but I think the big plays are going to come through the air somehow.
That's an interesting thought. For me, the answer is nobody. But if I had to pick somebody, it's going to be Jarvis Landry. I know that kind of ties in with Tannehill a little bit, but Jarvis Landry is going to be a security blanket. With Devontae Parker questionable to play at best, I think we'll see a lot from Jarvis Landry going with the short passes over the middle and such. And in the PPR league, I think Jarvis Landry is pure gold. If you have more fantasy questions for us, feel free to tweet them at us. Feel free to post them in our FinSider live thread. Feel free to call us. We want to hear your voice. We want to see how you talk. Actually, we have a caller right now that he wants to talk about the upcoming game in Seattle, which is a great segue into our next segment. I'm going to bring Daryl on the line. Daryl, welcome to FinSider Radio.
Hey, guys. Daryl, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, not a problem. Daryl, what's your question about the upcoming game?
Real quick, I'm going to get to the Seahawks-Dolphins game. I just cannot get into the fantasy football, guys. I see these things at the Hooters and the Buffalo Wild Wings, the draft parties. It's big on radio and social media. I just can't – no disrespect, but I just can't help but think it's for guys who really don't want to bet on games. I mean, who the hell – could sit there for a whole season and worry about stats to maybe win $150. Put $1,500 on the line for Thursday night's college football game. Who watches all that football and hopes that, Tony Romo throws a 50-yard touchdown pass at the end so they get some sort of a fantasy ring, guys? I just can't get into it, but God bless the people that do.
Apparently we have Dr. Daryl on the line. Never mind just Daryl, Dr. Daryl. No, that's a good point, Daryl. No, that is a great point. And every season I ask myself why I still play fantasy football, and then every season I sign up for it again. So I don't know what to tell you.
I got buddies, they call me all the time. They're in this fantasy thing. Now, I mean, some of them are in 50 of them. And I go over to their house. I can't even enjoy the Vikings game or the Dolphins game because they're there hoping that Adrian Peterson gets another 3 carries so, you know, they can beat their wife's cousin in some sort of pool. And I said, well, what did you win? You know, I get $50 at the end of the year if I come into first place. So I throw those people the hell out of the house. But, guys, listen, I need to – before we get – the big Dolphins game this weekend, I'm not a Tannehill fan, never have been. I think he's highly overrated. They're still looking for Marino 20 years later. But, guys, what I need to know – and I would have loved to have seen him sign Tim Tebow, if nothing else, just to put some juice in the preseason, sell some jerseys, get some interest going in that program. They're not going to do that. He's a Florida guy. But, guys, listen – I need some Chloe news. Do you guys have any Chloe Marino news, that bastard that Marino had outside of his marriage? Do we know where this bastard is, the whore that he was fucking to get this kid? Do you guys have any Chloe information? Because it's been dormant since 2013.
Wow. Well,
okay,
that
took a turn for the worse.
That started off well, and then I don't know what happened.
Sorry, guys, I dumped him. I hope that's
no.
Okay.
I don't know if it did start out well. That shit was
I remember the first time I had a beer.
I couldn't get to my dump button fast enough.
I am not sure what just happened. Listen, we're not going to address that on the air. If you want to look that up, Daryl, you can certainly Google it. We know as much as you do. Wow. You know, I was just going to say, Daryl, call in every week because you are an entertaining guy, but then...
He was, yeah. I agree.
Wow. All right. Anyway, he did say he wanted to talk about the Seahawks game, and then that had nothing to do with the Seahawks game. Anyways, let's go to the Seahawks game because that's where the Dolphins will play week one. Wow, that was freaking nuts. holy crap.
You'll never
holy
forget that.
Holy crap. Alpha in the live thread, that bastard laughing my ass off. Oh my God. All right. This is one for the ages. Okay. I need to regain focus here. Let's get back on track. So I'm going to give you some inside information that the Dolphins have going on this week. Give you a little peek behind the curtain. Of course, I have people I talk to down in Davie and in the facility, and then other people I talk to, you know, privately on Twitter who have sources with the team. So they're kind of the middleman. Here's what's going on. Dolphins are considering opening up in two tight end sets if Parker cannot go, which is a little concerning because Jordan Cameron and Deion Sims have both struggled throughout the entire preseason. So that will be interesting to see what happens there if Devontae Parker cannot go, how they will attack that. I've been told that the Dolphins have not shown a lot during preseason, and they haven't shown what they can really do on offense, and they played vanilla defense. So that's going to be interesting to see on Sunday when they come out. The Dolphins' game plan, as of right now and as of what they're telling people, hang around until the fourth quarter, until the pressure builds for the home team, which is Seattle. I don't agree with this game plan because if you have the chance to put them away early, you do that and you deflate the crowd. but apparently the Dolphins think by playing close and hanging around they can win in the fourth quarter. That always makes all of us nervous because we're sitting on pins and needles only to see the Dolphins lose the game with 3 minutes to go. Let's just hope it's not that situation. More inside information for you. The Dolphins have been practicing for a lot of the week with wet footballs. I was going to say wet balls, but I'll say wet footballs.
Good choice.
Yeah, that is a good choice, even though I said wet balls. But, yeah, wet footballs because in Seattle it rains, right? And it's a 1 o'clock game, and we're in September, and I'm not sure what September has to do with rain, but I'm going to go with it. So that you're getting prepared for that. Obviously, the crowd noise is a big thing. The Dolphins are going to go in with a silent count. They're not going to be doing much talking at the line of scrimmage. A lot of hand signals, so it's going to be important for them to get on the same page. The Dolphins coaches are worried, of course, about the offensive and defensive side of the ball miscommunicating because up there it is a deadly, deadly thing if they miscommunicate and miss a play or several plays. They are traveling to Seattle tomorrow, which is Thursday. They are doing that to combat the jet lag. I posted a few things on Twitter earlier today about jet lag. You should count when you're going to the west side. You should count every time you cross a time zone. You should give yourself – every time you cross 1.5 time zones or every time you cross 2 time zones or something like that, you should give yourself a day to recover. So the Dolphins are crossing 2 time zones, basically, right? Going from mountain time then to West Coast time. So they're really not going to get over their jet lag until Saturday. Here's the thing about jet lag, though. If you're any kind of injured or beat up or a little bit, you're going to take longer to recover. That's obviously not good news for Devontae Parker. He has hamstring injuries. He's cramping up. So it's going to be interesting to see how he responds to that type of thing. But if they get there tomorrow, they're going to be fine to go on Sunday. They should have all their jet lag out of their system. The Dolphins have team doctors, sports science guys, and they know what they're doing. All right, Sutton, give me one key only, one key for the Dolphins to win the game on offense.
Well, thank you for limiting the scope of the conversation because there really is a ton of stuff that we're going to have to do offensively to make all this work. But I think the one key is to be in a manageable third down situation consistently. That means that we're going to have to not make stupid penalties and get us in first and 20s and stuff like that. We cannot do that kind of stuff against this offense, or I'm sorry, against this Seattle defense. And so we need to avoid all those self-inflicted wounds that we're used to the Dolphins doing. And we need to be in the third and threes, third and fours, third and ones, third and sixes, even third and eights. I can deal with a third and eight. I'm sick of being in third and 23. And if we can get in a manageable third down situation in Seattle and be able to convert some of those, sustain some drives, keep that offense on the sideline, let their wet balls just sit on the bench over there. You know, let's get good first downs, first of all, but let's get some third downs, sustained drives, and see what we can do going forward. We need time of possession.
How about you? One key on offense.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a little cliche. I mentioned a run game earlier, but for me, it's probably just making sure we protect the football. I mean, we've all seen Ryan Tannehill. He comes out, he makes some great throws, some great plays, and then he always has that one play where it just looks like you just see him throwing interceptions. You're just like, what the hell was he thinking? Miami needs to limit those mistakes. They need to control the football, hold on to the ball, and just make sure we do not give Seattle any more opportunities than they already possess, because if they get those chances, that is when the game's going to spin ball out of control.
Yeah,
and turnovers, like you said, House, turnovers is going to be huge in this game. If we stay in this game, I think it's because we are winning the turnover battle somehow.
Completely agree.
Yeah, and I'm going to echo you guys, control the clock, control the game. Probably don't want to step out there with your offense to begin the game. The crowd is going to be loud. They're going to be loud regardless. Dolphins are really in a no-win situation to start the game. If they start on defensive side of the ball and the Seahawks go in and score a touchdown, the crowd is just going to be that much more rowdy. If the Dolphins start with the ball on offense, the crowd is going to be absolutely crazy. So it's just really maintaining focus, making sure they have, you know, all their systems in check and really just keeping themselves in check and not over pursuing and not getting over hyped up once the game begins. All right, one key on defense. For me, that is rushing the passer and getting to Russell Wilson, but also containing him in the pocket. Our outside defensive ends need to go on the outside, contain the outside, not let Russell Wilson get outside the pocket. Our defensive tackles and linebackers need to do a good job of containing the inside part of the line. If the Dolphins can keep Russell Wilson inside the pocket, they have a good chance of, keeping him off balance and making sure they're getting off the field before they start scoring touchdown after touchdown after touchdown. How it's one key on defense for you?
Yeah, for me, it's just on the outside. It's maintaining, I think, their receiving core. I'm looking at it right now. We got Doug Baldwin, Tyler Lockett, Jermaine Kearse, and then I believe Jimmy Graham was a full participant in practice. So, I mean, for me, it's just we need someone to cover Jimmy Graham, and we need our corners on the outside, Byron Maxwell and Xavien Howard. We just need them to stick to their man. We need to hope that they can guard their guys long enough to let that pass rush get there, like you said. And for me, it's the secondary. Can they hold up? I mean, that's kind of been the biggest question mark throughout the preseason. And for me, that's going to be what ultimately wins or loses the game for Miami.
Sutton, one key on defense for you.
I think our defensive line needs to kick ass all game long. I think that's the one positional group that we have a distinct advantage over Seattle, and we need to capitalize on that strength, and we need to be able to not only get Sue in the interior to have a messy pocket for Wilson to work with, but also just because of how much depth Russell Wilson gets on his drops, because he's short, you know, he needs to get a little extra depth to see over the line of scrimmage. We're going to need to set the edge and not let him break those plays off and keep him in the pocket, where hopefully we're redirecting him to Ndamukong Suh, where he is going to devour him. So hopefully we can destroy the Seattle offensive line, because that's the one weak link that I see on that side of the ball for them. So if we can get an advantage over that Seattle offensive line, I think we could possibly make this a low-scoring game and be able to hang around for a little bit. We're going to need to be able to stop the run. Obviously, they have a propensity to run the ball, and Thomas Rawls is going to be back, so I think they're going to be firing on all cylinders in terms of their running back by committee approach. So if we can stop the run and we can make the pocket uncomfortable for Russell Wilson, and we can get to him early, perhaps get a couple of three and outs, or maybe get a turnover, get a sack, something like that. That was the recipe for the LA Rams last year when they beat Seattle week one. They sacked Russell Wilson six times. They got off to a big lead. They were able to get a semi-decent running game going, and that was the recipe for beating Seattle week one last year. So I look for the defensive line to be able to create that kind of chaos, maybe get four, five, six sacks in this game like the LA Rams did last year. And if we can create that kind of chaos in the pocket for Russell Wilson, then we have a chance to stick around for a little while. And you guys have watched enough ball games where you know that if a team like the Dolphins stick around for a while, we might just pull it off at the end.
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
I can, yes.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. It said I was disconnected there for a second, but it looks like I'm back in. Yeah, so those are our keys to the game, guys, on offense and defensive side of the ball. It's going to be very interesting to see what our coaches come out with their game plan, how they disguise their coverages, how Adam Gase comes out with his first game as a head coach and his offensive system. I have complete confidence in both Vance Joseph and Adam Gase and all the other assistant coaches. I think it's going to be a great game and really interesting to see how the Dolphins play and respond and really take this next step into this new era. All right, it doesn't look like we have any questions in the live thread, no questions on Twitter. And, God, even if we did have someone on hold, I'd be afraid to answer that call.
Petrified.
Well, after what we just went through. So, I guess that's not a bad thing. All right, so bold predictions for the 2016 season. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to, one, predict the record for the Dolphins. Two, predict the Super Bowl matchup. and three predict the Dolphins MVP. Sutton, you're first.
Oh, geez. I was going to go something innocent like we play well as an underdog going into week one to remember for people going into Seattle. But, man, bold predictions. Darn you, MC Money. You and your extravagant plans. I'm going to go 8-8 for the Dolphins. I'm a totally jaded Dolphins fan, so it's hard for me to convince myself anything other than 8-8 is appropriate for the Miami Dolphins. So I'll go 8-8. I'll say the Super Bowl. I'm not going to pick the Patriots. Screw the Patriots. Let's go someone different like the Colts. And so I'll say Colts and the Packers.
All right. And the Dolphins MVP, who do you got?
And the Dolphins MVP is going to be Juice Landry, who becomes a household name for everybody in the entire world.
All right. How about Houts? What do you got? You got Dolphins record, Super Bowl matchup, and the Dolphins MVP.
All right. Well, for being optimistic, I'm going to go 9-7 as far as the record. As far as the Super Bowl, we'll go Arizona Cardinals versus Pittsburgh Steelers. And for the Dolphins MVP, I'm going to trust in Adam Gase. I love Ryan Tannehill, so I'm going to say Ryan Tannehill's the Dolphins MVP, leading up to a 9-7 record.
All right. And for me, I am going to go with a 9-7 record for the Miami Dolphins. I think the coaching staff gets a few more wins out of this team that the previous coaching staff wasn't able to. I think they do sneak a few in there just on coaching alone. For me, the Super Bowl matchup, and I'm going to take a few seconds to think this out loud. I do like the Chiefs. You know, they are always seem to be right in the mix, but of course you got Andy Reid there. There's no one in the AFC that's really a standout, and I'm not going to say the Patriots because I hate the Patriots. Any Dolphins fan should hate the Patriots. I think the Bengals are right there with a new offensive coordinator. They may take a step back there. The Raiders, I think, are a little too young. I think the Texans, Brock Osweiler, you know, I don't know. The Texans were right there last year, too. The Colts, Joe Philbin's the offensive line coach, so I don't really want to talk about that too much. Yeah, so I'm going to go with the Steelers for the AFC, and I'm going to talk out the NFC out loud as well. And, guys, I want you to save this podcast and come back to it in February when the Steelers do not make the Super Bowl because the Dolphins are in there and you can troll me all you want. I like the Seahawks. I like the Panthers. I like the Packers. There's a lot in the NFC to like about. I love the Cardinals. I love Bruce Arians. And I don't really want to steal the previous prediction. The Rams, they have Jeff Fisher, and Jeff Fisher is going to Jeff Fisher. We all know that. I do think the Packers make a rebound. I think the Packers are back in the Super Bowl. I think we see a Packers-Steelers Super Bowl. Two diehard fan bases, which would be a lot of fun to watch and to see how they react and interact with each other leading up to the game. Dolphins MVP for me, it's Ryan Tannehill. I am Team Tannehill all the way until he gets cut, traded, released, or retires as one of the greatest Dolphins quarterbacks of all time.
Quarterback.
Yes.
Quarterback.
That is my accent. All right. Before we let you go, before the final podcast, Finsider Radio, before the first game, we have another caller on the line, and he wants Alpha. I mean, we know Alpha's safe, right? I think he's safe. All right. He wants to give us his prediction for the season. Well, Alpha, I'm glad you want to give us your prediction because really no one asked for it, but we'll listen to it anyway. So welcome to Finsider Radio.
How's it going, Alpha? Thanks, guys. I'm sorry that you guys were all shook up on that last call.
Yeah, we had no idea.
That was crazy.
Johnny, please don't scar us for life, okay? Please.
No more Reno family anything. So no, the key to the win, I think, is going to be Adrian Foster. If he runs well, they're going to win the game. Not only that, because he's going to run well, he's going to run well throughout the season, and that's going to make the Dolphins a 10-6 team.
Ooh, okay,
I like it.
No,
I like it. Let me follow up with that just real quick, MC Money. Arian Foster certainly separated himself from Jay Ajayi in the preseason. It didn't seem even close, to be honest with you. Just the cut that he made at the goal line in that Atlanta game to score a touchdown, that was the cut that I needed to see.
I think Isaiah Pede outplayed Jay Ajayi.
Yeah, I mean, his production has been better, and you guys play fantasy football, obviously. You have like 75,000 teams. So you know that Arian Foster is capable of putting up ridiculous numbers when he's healthy. So, Johnny, to go back to you, if we can keep Arian Foster healthy somehow, get a nice spell at running back from time to time, I like Arian Foster going forward.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, he's going to take the pressure off of Tannehill. That's why I think it's going to be key. Anyway,
absolutely.
That's my 2 cents worth.
All right, Alpha, do you want to give us your Super Bowl matchup?
Oh, man. No, I don't have anybody.
All right. Hey, that works. You can just say Dolphins all the way, and we'll take it.
Okay, we'll Dolphins see. All the way.
All right. Thank you, Alpha. As always, thank you for calling in. Alpha, a.k.a. Johnny, a very dedicated listener, very dedicated user in our live thread on thefinsider.com. And we never have to really worry too much when Alpha calls in. It's the stuff that he types online behind his keyboard when he's not talking to us that makes us a little bit nervous, especially when he starts talking about coming to our houses to see us. So, yeah.
That's my favorite
ironic,
part.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
great show, guys. We're trusting
yeah.
Alpha tonight, and people named Daryl can't call in and tell
people
us.
People crazy now.
I don't think we will top that. That will be... I don't know.
That was bad.
We had a good show tonight, despite that Daryl guy calling, and who knows if even that's his real name. It's probably not. But despite that, great show. We talked a lot about the upcoming game, gave you some insider information about the upcoming game, talked about the team captains that were named earlier today. It's going to be fun. Football is back, finally.
It
all kicks off tomorrow night, Panthers versus Broncos. Set your fantasy lineups. Get your popcorn ready. Get your White Russians ready. Get your beer ready. Whatever you prefer to drink, whether it's Kool-Aid, and I'm going to be drinking lots of Kool-Aid this year.
Absolutely.
Get it ready. James, before we hang up, let's bring in James. James, how about – James is our producer behind the scenes, and he's the one who let Daryl on the line and dumped him just as quickly. But James McKinney, you guys know him on thefinsider.com. James, what is your prediction for the season in your Super Bowl matchup?
I don't know about Super Bowl. I'm thinking along the same lines as Alpha. If we get running production, we do beat Seattle, but we'll go 12-4 then, not 10-6. 10-6 is meh.
Yeah, I like 12-4.
I like
that.
I can do it. It's been way too long.
If we can beat Seattle, we can win 12 games.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right.
Absolutely.
Listen, if the Dolphins go in and beat Seattle, I am listening to sports talk radio all freaking night, okay? I am watching ESPN all night. I'm listening to radio all night, and I'm not going to bed. All right, that's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah, so let's have a 3 a.m. Let's agree right now that we have a 3 a.m. podcast if we win Sunday. Because I'm going to need to not only party a little bit for the game, but then come down from that party to be able to participate in conversation with y'all. So I think by 3 a.m., I think we should be able to have a semi-intelligible conversation.
I am completely down for it. And right. you may be by yourself, but hey, it is what it is, right?
Let's just do it right after the game. Forget it. Let's just do it right after.
Yeah, so if you do follow us on Twitter or thefinsider.com, there will be times this season where we jump on the air right after a game, whether it's a win or a loss, whether you want to vent to us and call into the show, whether you want to celebrate with us and listen to the Dolphins play at 4 p.m. on Sunday. So that might be a good opportunity for us to start to show up after the game. We have that little break in between the end of the game and Sunday Night Football. So please be on the lookout for that. We'll try to give you as much notice as possible. Head towards the end of the game. All right, football is back, boys and girls. It starts all Thursday night, Broncos versus Panthers, and the real stuff continues on Sunday, and then we have a doubleheader on Monday night. But thank God, football, I've missed you. For Matt Cannata, I am joined by Sutton and Houts and James McKinney behind the scenes. Have a good night.
Good night.